Well, my name is Boris and I'm an addict.
Hi, Boris.
It's a funny thing. I think like 5-6 months ago, I got the question, would you like to share at the ECNA? And I said, yes. Because whenever I get the chance to be of service, I've learned to say yes. And then 1 month before the ECNA, I started to realize I'm going to share at the ECNA. And I thought, yes. And then 1 week before the ECNA, I started to realize I'm going to share at the ECNA. And thought, fuck, why did I do this? When I get anxious, when my disease starts telling me things, I know it's time to get to action. So I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying a lot. I think I've done like 20 prayers today because I feel like I need it. My legs are shaking. I'm trembling, but that's okay. I've just been praying, let me share a message. Let it just not be about me. Because that's something that I learned when I got into NA. I remember my very first meeting. It was the 16th of December 2020, the Wednesday night NA meeting at the Groene Steeg 2 in Leiden, the Netherlands. I came into that meeting and I really, really thought, fuck, these are the people that are supposed to save my life. You know, you were using words that I didn't like. I saw a lot of people that I thought I didn't like. I felt like a pile of shit. I acted like a pile of shit. I didn't want to say too much. Didn't want to say too less. I didn't want to stand out. And I remember it was COVID time when we had these chairs and every chair you could sit. And then the one next to it had a big cross because we had to keep some distance. And I just sat somewhere and then right when the meeting started, I found out that I had the How It Works beneath my ass. And I thought, fuck, what am I doing? But I started to read How It Works. I started to listen to what you had to say. And I felt as scared as I feel today sharing here. And I remember that there was this guy. He was 6-7 years clean. And he shared. And it was the first share in the meeting that didn't start about what the person him was going through. But he shared, hey, newcomer. Welcome. We're happy that you're here. Please keep coming back. We've always got a spot for you. And, you know, now that I'm looking back at that moment, it felt like the first time in years that I wasn't treated like a problem. I wasn't treated like a project. I wasn't treated like a client. I wasn't treated like a pile of shit. I wasn't treated like an issue. But I was treated like a human being. And now, you know, I'm standing up and I have all these thoughts going through my head, but I'm remembering that first meeting and I'm remembering I get to treat myself as a human being because that's what I've learned from you guys. So, you know, last night, I'm very lucky that I have a sponsor who does a lot of service and he's here at the convention. So last night, I had to talk to him about the tension that I'm feeling for speaking on my phone. Of course, you cannot see it, but I have a picture of my little sister. She's 9 years old. And when I'm going through tough times, I just look at it and it helps me. Last night, I had a conversation with my dad because that's a relationship that has gotten much, much, much better since I've been clean. If I'm really honest, I'd like to take credit for that, but I just can't because it's because of you. You taught me how to be consistent. You taught me how to keep pushing through, even if I don't feel like it. And when I came to NA, I still felt like a piece of shit. I still wanted to treat myself like a piece of shit. But you just weren't allowing me to do that. And for that, I'm really grateful. Because if it weren't for you, if it weren't for Jimmy K, if it weren't for the people at those meetings, I would not be here. You know, because when I got into rehab, I knew I had problems, but I did not know I had an addiction. I felt like I was a bad person, and you guys taught me that I was sick. I felt like there was no chance for me to start over. And you were the ones that told me that there is a chance. And that if I just for today don't use and keep coming back and commit to this program called the NA program, things will get better. Things got better. Things got much, much, much better. I'll be honest, when it was really funny because I love you too. I think it was like 1 o'clock on, and I have this watch on my wrist, and I was like, okay, two more hours. And I started just walking around and just praying and meditating myself and just, and then I had 1 more hour, and then I had 30 minutes, and then I was like, okay, I'm so glad that Mahmoud is going to share first. And then they told me, that Mahmoud was in the EDM at the 10th floor. And then 5 minutes before the share, I saw Mahmoud coming, and I was like, yes. And then he asked me, well, man, I just got out of this EDM thing. I really need my time. Could you share first? And I was like, fuck, no. And I said, I'll do it. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. To keep it very simple, to just share where I came from. If you had asked me that in my first year, I would have said I come from a loving family, loving parents. But the simple fact is that that's not the case. My mom had a lot of fear issues. My dad had a lot of unresolved anger. And you know, I can truly say that I've forgiven them, because the truth is my parents didn't bring a child to this world and said, let's raise an addict. They didn't. They just did the best they could. I remember from a very, very, very young age, I just had this feeling that something was off all the time. I just had this feeling that I was off all the time. I just had this feeling that, you know, I had this feeling that like these 7 billion people in the world, like these 6,999,999,999 people, they get it and I don't. They understand how this thing called life works and I don't. And I didn't understand why. Now I understand that it is because I'm an addict. And I was raised to the best of my parents' ability. It was very weird because at times I had a lot of love at home. Well, love, what I thought was love. And then it just switched and my dad got angry. My mother's exes got angry. Started getting violent. I couldn't come to my dad because when I came to my dad, he said, man up and go and stand for yourself. But I'm a very soft boy. Still am to this day, you know. I might go to the gym, might try to overcompensate it, but there's no way succeeding that. I'm just a soft boy, and that's who I am. And I was raised and raised and raised and raised in a certain way. And I thought, okay, this is what life's about. It's about not talking about emotions, just going on. And don't you dare talk about your feelings. Don't you dare seek help. Don't you dare get emotional, because people don't like that stuff. And I didn't like that stuff. So I went to middle school. Got bullied, was an easy target. And that's where the problems really began. I felt very lonely from a very young age. And from a very young age, I started asking myself these questions like, you know, why am I here? Well, I'm very happy that there's a why are we here, because I got my answer. I thought, why me? And then, you know, we have this thing called who's an addict, so that helps. And what should I do about my problem? And then we've got a thing like how it works and what's the NA program. And how do I do it just for today? But I didn't know that back then. I didn't have these formats. I didn't have these meetings. I didn't have these people. It was just me, myself, and I. And then I met drugs. And I remember it was, now I can look back at it and laugh about it. It was like a party in middle school. And I was sitting there with friends, and it was the first time that I took drugs. And I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. I remember 2 hours later, my friends had to call my dad, and they told me, yeah, your son is puking on the ground. You have to pick him up. And I remember this next morning, my dad told me, man, this is not the way. You cannot do this. And I thought, nah, it's just one time. It won't happen again. Not knowing that it would happen again. And I remember I continued and continued and continued, and I started using more and more and more, and I started using by myself, and it felt so lonely. And I remember this one time I was at home with my dad, and me and my dad, we had a very tough relationship. And I came home and I looked like shit from all the using, and he just looked at me, and it's one of the very first moments where I could really feel a connection with my dad. And he told me, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You look like shit. You look like shit. What the hell are you doing? I'm worrying about you. And you know, it wasn't a nice moment, but it was the first time that I connected with my dad. And he just told me, out of the true love that he had for me, it was deep down inside, he told me, you look like shit, what are you doing? And I remember a couple weeks later, my mom and my stepdad gave me an intervention because of all the using. And you know, they just told me, like, you need to stop, because you know, the people who love you, you're hurting them, and we don't want to see you this way. You know, I had my little sister when I was 15 years old, and I'm very grateful for having my little sister. That's why she's my phone background, because if anyone here has a little sister, I think you know what I'm talking about, you know. I cannot explain it. It's, for me, it was a reason to stay alive. You know, I was the guy, like the whole family was so excited for the kid to come, and I was like, oh, mom, you're 45, you're getting a kid. And you know, I wouldn't tell anyone at school because I felt ashamed for my family. I felt ashamed for the choices my family made, because I felt ashamed for myself all the time, for what I felt, for what I thought, for what I did, for who I was with. And the moment she got born, I was sold. And you know, I was the one, you know, if there was anyone in the family sitting with her on the couch, it was me. And but you know, that's the thing, I'm a sick man, and the love for my little sister isn't enough to keep me clean. You know, I'd babysit her one night, and I was completely wasted. And my mom came in, and she was like, no, get the hell out of here. You can't do this. I didn't understand it back then. Back then I told her, why are you making a fight? My little sister's here. Why are you making problems? My little sister's here. Now I can see what she meant. Because I would, if I had a daughter, I would never, ever let someone like that babysit my daughter. I'd love her too much. But that's what my dad did. That's what my mom and my stepdad told me. And for the very first time, I had a spiritual awakening. I remember I sat at the table. By the way, do you have a napkin for me? My nose is running like crazy. And for the first time in my life, I told myself, I need to quit. I need to quit. Hadn't heard of NA, hadn't heard of the steps, hadn't heard of a fellowship. But, you know, some people talk about the gift of desperation. It was building up. It wasn't a gift yet. It felt like a curse. But it was there. It was growing. I didn't see it, but it was growing. And I'm very happy for that format that says alcohol was a drug or alcohol is a drug. Because I quit using drugs and I began drinking alcohol, because back then I didn't see that as a drug. I thought everyone's doing that, so that's totally fine. And I see all these people doing it, so. But then, of course, came the whole story, one following another. I began with this, then started with that, then did that, then did that, then did that. I went deeper and deeper and deeper. I hadn't hit my rock bottom yet. And I lost my spiritual awakening. And I remember I went on vacation with friends to Portugal. I was 19 years old. And we went on vacation. And of course, you know, I wasn't there for Portugal. I wasn't there for the beautiful ocean side. I wasn't there for the delicious Portuguese food. I was just there to use and use and use. And we were there. And something snapped. You know, I guess the bucket was overflowing, and kind of felt like a very uncoordinated, unhealthy fourth step share. But then with drugs and not with a sponsor. And I remember that just all the pain and all the hurt of all these years that build up, I just threw it out. And I remember that I called my dad, because if I really went through shit, he was the guy to call. And I told him, if this is what it is, then I don't want to do this anymore. And I wasn't talking about quitting. I was talking about making an end to it all. And I remember I was with these friends. You know, of course, I picked my friends. I had friends who used a lot. I've never seen my friends become emotional. And suddenly, I was there with friends, you know, and I said it, and I just threw it out. And for the first time in years, I saw my friends cry, and I just saw them looking at me like, man, you need some help. But I didn't think about it. I wasn't convinced yet, you know, suicidal, impulsive as you can be, destroying the lives of the people around me. And I still felt like it was their fault. I still felt like my mother did not give me the love that I deserved. My dad was way too angry at me when I was young, and these bullies from high school and all these people misunderstanding me, it's their fault that I'm here. It's their fault that I'm using, and it's their fault that I feel like a fuck up. So I needed another year. And my mother had told me of this rehab that we have here in the Netherlands. And wait, how many time do I have left? Oh, that's fast. Okay, I got to share about the clean part. That's important too. I'll go very fast. My mom had told me about this rehab, and I told her, yes, I'm going to do it. I had my intake, and I was using, and I told her I'm not going to be there. Put my phone on silent, started using and using and using. And I had to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till I hit my rock bottom, and I came to my mother, myself, and I told her, I'm done. You know, I don't want to end my life, but I also don't want to continue like this anymore. I need help. And I got help. I went to rehab. And I remember that I made a promise to myself, and I still kept myself to that promise. I've told myself, Boris, I'm not sure what's going to happen from this moment on. I'm not sure what this is going to bring up. It might feel scary. It might feel very uncomfortable. You might feel like shit. You might feel like giving up. But you're not going to do that. You're going to do what these people tell you that you're going to do. And you're going to do it. And if this is not working, you can always make an end, right? So let's try this first and then we'll see. And I did that. And very quickly, I started to realize that a lot of the things that I thought about myself, people didn't think that about me. A lot of the negative stuff that I thought by myself, people didn't feel like that. When people saw me and when I asked people, what do you think of me? They said like very positive stuff. I said like, you're just a nice guy. There's nothing wrong with you. Huh? I didn't understand that. I really didn't. And then I came out of rehab. I went to a safe house. Thank God. If you're in a safe house, work it. because it saved my life. It really did. And I came to NA. And I came to that first meeting. You know, and one thing that I learned there, because I was 20 when I got into the rooms. I was just at the end of 19 when I made the decision to turn my life around and have that intake with the rehab. And I came into the rooms and I was looking at the similarities. There were a lot of people older than me, a lot of people with different backgrounds, a lot of people with different problems. And I thought, you cannot help me. You cannot help me. Till this guy shared to me, it's so good that you're here. Keep coming back. We want you. We want you to come back. So just, if there are any newcomers here, any people in their first 30 days, please come back because we want you here. And you guys taught me that the only thing I need to be a member of NA is desire to stop use. You know, I don't even need to be clean. I mean, I'd recommend it, but you don't need to be clean. you just need the desire. And, you know, some of these things in NA, they are so easy that I cannot understand them. They're just as simple as they are. But that's what you taught me. You just need to be clean. And if you're clean, or you just need the desire to stop using. And if, you know, if that's what you have, then you're welcome. And I heard these people talk to me like, just come back. And, you know, if you get back to the next meeting, please don't use in between the meetings. That really helps. But just keep coming back and, you know, all will be well. The rest will follow. And then people started telling me, hey, get yourself a sponsor. Hey, get yourself some service positions. Hey, work the steps. And I did all those things, you know, and sometimes I hear these stories of these people and they say my first year was so difficult, it was so this and that, but my first year was the best year of my life because it was the first year that I could be honest. It was the first year that I had hope again. And you know, I remember these magical moments in my first year, these spiritual awakenings, I guess. And I think I was around 8, 9 months. And I sat in this meeting and I just, you know, I was looking outside and the sun was low and the lights were coming in and they were shining on my head. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I felt like it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. you're going to be okay, Boris. You're going to be okay. And you know, I just kept working the steps. I got a new sponsor. I needed something else. I started working the steps again. Almost finished now with my fourth step, the best step in my opinion. It gave me so much, and it's still giving me so much. I would not be able to stand here without the fourth step. And you know, I remember that the dreams that I had, you know, one of the biggest dreams that I had was to become a father. And that was a dream long gone for me. That was like no way that anyone's gonna be willing to do this thing with me. And I understood them, I'll be very honest, because I was a pile of shit. I was very destructive, I was very negative, I was very rude, I was very entitled. Nog 5 minuten. Oh, super. 5 minutes. And then suddenly I started to realize, wait, maybe I can become a father again. And then my sponsor suddenly told me, hey, it's time for you to give what I gave you. It's time to become a sponsor. I was like, huh? I remember this first meeting, you know, I raised my hand and this guy came up to me and he said, like, well, I need a sponsor and you raise your hand. Will you be my sponsor? And I was very chill, like, yeah, I'll do that. And remember, just after the meeting, I started calling my friend and I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I have no idea what, but I'm not perfect and I'm happy I'm not. I started sponsoring. I started helping people. And I started to realize that not everyone who comes to NA stays in NA. I got in touch with my mother again. That was a big no-no my first year. Was too much, couldn't handle it. So I got in touch with my mom again, got in touch with my little sister again, which I was so happy with. You know, just the basic things like bringing her to bed, eating dinner with my family. It was all very new to me. Just not being the problem anymore. I guess that's something that I really liked. Just being there for them not having to care for me anymore. That's up to my higher power. Now it's my time to serve. I remember last year, by the way, like I have this tank top and I didn't put it on to try and look sexy or whatever. Like last year's convention, I went to the World Convention, the Power of Love in Washington, and I met this guy from Hawaii, Chuck, lovely guy. And he gave me the 2020 regional Maui Hawaii convention shirt and I have never worn it. And I went to the convention and I knew I was speaking, so I thought that's the best moment to wear it. 1 year later, I started going to the conventions. But I guess the greatest gift of all is that I have peace. That I can, thank you. That's the greatest thing, because when I came into NA, I had everything but peace. But I did have a willingness to stay clean for one more day and to work the program like you guys told me to. And that's what I did. You know, I heard a guy yesterday tell me, just don't use before your head hits the pillow, wake up and do it again and you'll be all right. And I've done that for, 4 years, 4 weeks now. 4 years, 10 months, by the way. Thank you. Yeah, but, you know, the greatest gift, I remember I went to a sponsee to get to know him better. It was a very funny story. This guy, 45 years old, had taken part in the military and stuff, and he had two little kids, 6 and 3, and he had a wife, and I went to their home, and I was standing there, you know, big guy, the big soles on my shoes, and these kids, they were looking up at me a bit scared, and I was like, okay, we're just going to have a nice dinner, and this and that, and I was just all love and all gratitude. And, you know, at the end of the night, I'm wrestling with these kids, 6 and 3 years old. You know, I've never met them before. You know, we were playing football with each other. Eventually, their daughter joins in, 3 years old, and just smiling. And I'm like, how did I get here? But the truth is, because of you. I got here because of you. Yesterday, I had a conversation with my father to begin or to end my share the way I began. You know, because when I went in, when I was in Portugal and I called my dad, he was very worried about me. And last night, I called my dad and I told him, like, Dad, I'm going to share at this convention tomorrow, and you know, I'm gonna do it, but I'm feeling tense, and I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling that, and he told me, oh, you got this. You got this. I know you. You got this. Just share your story. Look at all the things that you've done the last couple of years. You know, 1 week ago, I had a conversation with my dad, and he told me, you know, Boris, he told me, I've never, ever, after, like, when I was 7 months clean, I always had this thing with my dad that if I were to go anywhere, I would tell, I'm there with them, and I'll be home by this. And then I think 7, 8 months clean, he told me, it's okay, just go. And yesterday, or a week ago, he told me, you know, I've got so much trust in you. I'm feeling a bit quiet about it, but he told me, you got this. You got this. You know. And by the way, I want to thank you for the share this morning. To just think that 67 years ago, one guy, or a co-founder, as I've learned this morning, started this program. And 67 years later, the 16th of December 2020, it reached me. And now it's my turn to reach others. And I always find it very difficult to stop sharing because I always feel like there's so much more to tell. But I also just got 30 minutes. And Mahmoud wants to share as well, I think. Yeah? Okay. But I guess the smile on my face, the way that I'm talking, the fact that I'm standing here, it says enough. It really says enough. So, you know, if you're here, if you're doubtful about this program, about yourself, about this convention, about whatever, whoever, wherever, whenever, whatever, just try it for today. Don't use before your head hits the pillow. Wake up tomorrow. Do the same thing over and over again. And there will be a day that you won't have to use anymore. There will be a day when life will get better. And there will be a day when you'll be able to reach out to others the way that others have reached out to me. Because if I can do it, so can you. That's something that I'm truly convinced of. And I really think it's time to end my share now. So, yeah. Thank you so much, and hope you have a nice weekend. Thank you.